This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair. We are less than a week removed from a major water main break in Oakland County. That forced a boil water advisory for some 300,000 residents and businesses in nearly a dozen communities. It speaks to water quality, infrastructure, and water policy. There are plenty of other examples to go around, and legislatively speaking, there are concerns we're regressing in these areas. Welcome to this month's edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment, and we welcome back Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and thank you for your time.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, David.
Aging infrastructure, it's a conversation that's as old as I am, and it relates to this water main break in Oakland County, and it's going to be an issue not only here, but everywhere.
Indeed. We are seeing water challenges all over the state. Infrastructure is a key part of those challenges, but it's also contamination issues that we're seeing. We have seen crises in West Michigan, Northern Michigan, and as you pointed out, Oakland County. And as these become more and more prevalent, we're going to be hearing more and more from the general public as the cries for we need safe drinking water become louder and louder.
Now, as part of the infrastructure part of the conversation, there's universal agreement that it needs to be dealt with, but no one really wants to pay for it, and we don't seem to be all that close to actually addressing the exorbitant funding needed to adequately address the aging infrastructure of our county, our state, and our country.
Yes. So as these issues become more prevalent, as I pointed out, I think that we're going to be hearing more and more from citizens all over the state. The costs are not insignificant. Indeed, we will have to invest millions of dollars to actually address these problems. But the longer that we wait, the higher the costs become, and not only costs in terms of dollars and cents, but I would argue, as we've seen in Flint, costs related to human health and safety. Public sector consultants about a year and a half ago did a study on behalf of the Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association, and they looked at the infrastructure challenges here in the state. They pointed out that 75% of Michigan residents get their drinking water from about 1,300 community water systems across the state. And most of these systems were built between 50 and 100 years ago. So many of these systems are well past their shelf life, so to speak, and they've already exceeded their lifetime expectancy. And so we're looking at their estimation was that we need investments of anywhere between $284 to $563 million a year to address these problems.
And then, yeah, that's just to get started. You're listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment. We continue on 89.1 WEMU. Lisa Wozniak here. She is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. We have the Gelman Plume in the Ann Arbor area. We're still a long ways from fully remediating the Flint water crisis. Lake Erie continues to threaten drinking water each year with its potentially toxic algae blooms. Where is water quality on the priority list of the state legislature and the federal government, in your estimation?
Not high enough. It's not high enough on that priority list. But as we continue to see these water contamination issues, including this growing huge algal bloom in Lake Erie, the pressure is mounting. And one example of this, I think, is interesting to watch. In West Michigan, there is a contamination issue. The west side of the state, it's in the 28th Senate District. Pete McGregor is the senator there. And he's found himself under a lot of pressure of late because there's a big and growing water contamination issue that was started by Wolverine Worldwide, dumped with permits their tannery waste on a 76-acre landfill, and that landfill has begun to leak, and people's wells are contaminated. And this is a gentleman that I would say has not had water issues at top of his priority list, but he's hearing very loudly and very clearly from his constituents these days about why water quality matters so much.
It's amazing
much.
How perspective changes when it's in your backyard.
That's right.
House Bill 4205 is under consideration in Lansing. It would limit state and local governments from enacting any regulation that is more strict than federal standard. Why is the Michigan League of Conservation so ardently opposed, particularly when it kind of applies to the water issues we're talking about?
Well, this is a bill that we've seen pop up a number of different times. In fact, it did make it to the governor's desk a few years back, and he actually vetoed it. So this is a really dangerous bill for a lot of reasons. It would basically restrict Michigan agencies from regulating key contaminants. So we think about the contaminants I just described in Pete McGregor's Senate off district, and the contaminants there have exceeded EPA limits by 400 times. This would limit the state of Michigan from actually promulgating rules that would actually allow us to have lower limits for contaminants like that. These are cancer-causing, thyroid-changing contaminants, and it would make Michigan have to prevent us from doing anything except for in crisis mode. And I would point out that federal standards are intended to be a floor and not a ceiling. And especially in a Great Lakes state like ours, where we're surrounded by water, it defines every essence of who we are. We ought to be able to regulate and put rules in place that actually protect not only our drinking water, but the very essence of what Michigan's all about.
Is it unfair to put the entire burden of looking at regulation on the states when it comes to these lower levels? Should there also be a greater deal of pressure put on the federal government to stop working from the floor and looking at or the ceiling and looking at floors?
Absolutely. But we're looking right now at an administration that has proposed to roll back in one way or another over 50 different rules and regulations that are in place at the federal level. So right now, I would love to see these changes enacted at the federal level. And I think over time, we must move in that direction. But this particular administration is doing anything but enacting stronger provisions or actually rolling things back.
Well, we come back to taking another look at the state. We can't talk about water issues if we don't talk about the Great Lakes. Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and you're listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair with the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa Wozniak, there is House Bill 5095. It would loosen ballast water regulations, and some say it could be an unhealthy and expensive decision. Now, as we sit here and have a conversation, I bet there's not a handful of people that had ballast on their dinner conversation over the past 2 months. So why is this of importance?
You know, this is crazy. I mean, ballast water is something that our legislature actually dealt with in a bipartisan manner way back in 2005. They looked around and said, you know, we represent the citizens of the state. We know that invasive species have created devastating impacts on our Great Lakes, and in a bipartisan fashion, Republican and Democrat.
And that's what they are. They're hitchhikers, right?
There's over 180 known aquatic invasive species in the Great Lakes, 55 to 70% of which were brought here through the waters that are in large ships.
There can be an argument then. We know that they're here, and yet we've said that the Great Lakes, the health of the Great Lakes, for the most part, is improved over where we were 30, 40 years ago.
It has and it hasn't. What we can't see sometimes is really what's most devastating. There is a book that was recently written and published by a gentleman named Dan Egan. It's called The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. And in his intro, he says that if we were actually to drain Lake Michigan, we could walk along the bottom of Lake Michigan from, say, Muskegon to Milwaukee on quagga mussels the entire way. And these are invasives that are basically, you know, outcompeting our native species here and devastating what we know to be the fisheries in our Great Lakes. So Michigan put very strong rules in place years ago, and it is beyond the scope of imagination why the legislature actually wants to do away with them right now.
Well, it all comes back to money. Where's the money trail lead?
Back to the shipping industry, really. So, I mean, and when we think about the fisheries, we think about the things that we enjoy as Michiganders. We think about that, frankly, the economy of our fishing industry. We have a lot to think about when it comes to taking a look at whether we want to roll this back or not.
You have sat here in the studio on this program in the past and talked about when it comes to the Great Lakes and when it comes to water quality, there is a great deal of bipartisan support. So where are we headed with the policy issues that we've discussed today? Where is the progress and where will the progress come from moving forward?
Yeah, it's challenging. I will give you a couple of examples, one of which is actually working right now, which is I go back to often the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, a $300 million yearly investment in restoring our Great Lakes, passed after a long period of time of advocating across the region and across the nation, frankly, for this to be adopted at the congressional level. This was proposed to be eliminated by the Trump administration in the budget. Thus far, in a bipartisan fashion, this has been protected. I mean, it's going to have to be continually protected, but it has been protected. Very important. It cannot be underestimated or overestimated in terms of its importance. I will also say that, you know, our neighboring state has done some interesting things in terms of trying to address the toxic algae. They have...
You're talking about Ohio, of course.
Ohio, of course. Your
home
state.
Don't even like to say it, do you?
They've actually, this seems very simple, but they've actually banned the application of manure on frozen fields. It seems like a no-brainer. They've done it. I think that there is room to possibly have that happen here in Michigan, which would be a great step forward. And then the other thing is we've been working very hard in Lansing on a septic code. It's remarkable, but Michigan is the only state in the country that does not have a statewide septic code. And we have seen that there is a lot of problem being generated by the fact that we don't have septics up to date and a lot of waste going right into the waters. And I think there's hope to actually have that adopted.
A lot of work to be done, but again, reason for optimism as well. So we'll have to have the conversation once again. Lisa, thank you very much for the time today.
You're welcome, David.
That is Lisa Wozniak, Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and now our guest on the first Friday of every month for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.